The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Attitudes about my presidency among whites in northern states are very different from whites in southern states. So, you know, are there folks whose primary concern about me has been that I seem foreign, the other? Are those who championed the birther movement, you know, feeding off of bias? Absolutely.
I mean, bingo, bango, Obama. I've never seen anything like it. To his last days, he's screaming racism. Here's a guy who was elected by white people. It was the white people who bought his bill of goods. It was the white people who bought his act. And he's still screaming about racism in America. It's amazing. When does this ever end? Listen, if it works for you, and it works for you your whole life, and you're a man who's never created a service or a product that anyone ever bought, and you wound up president twice, wouldn't you continue to scream race in a crowded nation? Sure, it works. And he's a young man yet. There's plenty to go yet. So we have a lot to talk about today. In a way, we do. I have two great guests. We have Rowan Scarborough of the Washington Times coming up to talk about the generals that Obama's appointing, who I'm so happy. I sleep better at night. I am so happy to hear that Trump picked a retired General John Kelly to head Homeland Security instead of this Wall Street lawyer, Jay Johnson, who permitted one terrorist attack after another without getting fired. It's time we had real hard men in our security apparatus. Don't you agree? But the liberals are terrified right away. Oh, generals. Oh, Argentina. Oh, there's going to be a coup. Oh, they're going to round us up. Oh, they're going to they should be rounded up in their own minds. They know better than we do what they've done and what they like to do. It's their own paranoia projecting back on them like a boomerang. What are they afraid of the generals for? Look at what we have now under Obama. A general who can't fire a rifle. An Air Force secretary who can't fly a plane. A Navy secretary who can't steer a rowboat. Thank God that we have these military veterans coming into power. It's just great news. And we're going to talk about them a little bit. As well as SEAL Team 6, the disaster that will not go away with Mr. Rowan Scarborough. And for those of you out there who are using marijuana for depression and anxiety, which we're going to talk about in the second hour with Cass Ingram, a doctor who is a big proponent of using cannabinoids for depression, anxiety, and for other treatments, but he's not into the getting high part of it. You see, this is the part that disturbs me, is peddling marijuana as a medicine when, in fact, it's a drug for getting high. If you find an active principle in any plant, which I've worked on for years, you isolate that active principle and you use it to treat the condition. But if it gets you high, that's another story. And you say, well, what's wrong with getting high? Well, for one, it lessens your mental acuity. That's number one, just as alcohol does. Marijuana seriously impacts your mental acuity. It makes you a danger on the highways of America. It makes you a danger on the byways of America. And it makes you a danger to yourself and others. So we're going to talk about the active principles, the cannabinoids, rather than the pot that's being pushed by George Soros and others. Congressional calls grow for a probe of Russian hacking. He won't let it go. The loser, Lindsey Graham, the worst man in the Senate, the absolute worst, craziest man in the history of the Senate. He's worse than Harry Reid. This is a real Benedict Arnold. Are you listening to this? Lindsey Graham is calling for a probe. They won't let go of the Russian hacking still. Okay, we got a great defense chief in Mattis. We got a great DHS chairman in John Kelly, as opposed to the Wall Street phony. Good riddance, let him go back to what he knows best, which is whatever. We got a new fast food executive, Andy Puzder, as labor secretary, who's against the minimum wage. I guess he'll create jobs as a result. Now, I, by the way, have a different opinion on the minimum wage than he does and than many of you so-called conservatives do. It's easy to say I'm against the minimum wage in principle. Let the market determine the price of labor. You know, that's easy to say when you're a millionaire talk show host. But if you're working for minimum wage, would you like to see the wage go down and then argue that it's free market capitalism? What do you want people to live on? What do you want them to live on? Have you tried to work for minimum wage? See, lucky for me, I was poor when I was young, and I worked for minimum wage. I didn't like it. I would rather have made what the owner made. He didn't make that much, by the way, in the little businesses I worked in, whether it was a pharmacy, a one-man pharmacy, or a luncheonette. But the fact was, is I took the job because I was glad to get it. So I made minimum wage. And you know what the object of minimum wage is? Is to make you want to make more money. In other words, you say, I can't stand this stinking job working at a minimum wage job. So what you do is you struggle to get a job where you earn more than the minimum wage. In other words, you learn some skill to make more money. It motivates you to want to pull yourself up from the bottom of the labor scale. It's that simple. But on the other hand, what would you like to see? Child labor reintroduced, all of you genius conservatives? Or let the market determine the price of labor. That's socialism to dictate minimum wage. So what would you like them to exploit? Children in factories and make them work for a dollar an hour around the clock with no sleeping and no food? Would you like to go back to Dickens times? So there has to be some bottom to a labor cost. You can't just let it be driven into the ground. We can see what the pigs in Silicon Valley are doing, throwing American workers out of jobs to bring in people from India to pay them less money. Is that what you want going on across America? So be very careful with your theories. Unless you yourself have worked for a minimum wage, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But if you're born into a family that took care of you from birth until you graduated from graduate school or medical school or law school, you don't know anything about what you're talking about. You need to have worked two minimum wage jobs to know what I'm talking about. You need to have ridden the bus in the slush to two jobs and then gone to school to know what I'm talking about. You need to know what it's like to raise a family while working two jobs and sleeping 5 hours a night to know what I'm talking about. But on the other note, I love the generals, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about cannabinoids for those of you who can't get enough of it. I don't use the cannabinoids. I don't like marijuana. I used marijuana when I was 17 years old. It was the worst thing I ever did in my life. The few years I smoked marijuana destroyed my thinking, made me think I was more creative than I was. I look back on my writings, and I could see how bad they became when I was high. The problem with marijuana is you lose all perspective as you start to you focus in on small details, but you forget the bigger picture. So it may be useful for some kinds of artwork, I suppose. I suppose that in some way it may be useful for some artists to get stoned, but for society as general, to use marijuana is the same thing as throwing opium into the Chinese population by the British in order to enslave them, which is why George Soros, the most evil man in the history of America, and I will go on and on about that. In my estimation, he's the most evil man this country has ever had to tolerate. This emigre from, I guess, whatever he came from, Romania. I don't know where he's from. He's a foreigner, as far as I'm concerned. He hates America. And this man was the first man to start funding legalizing marijuana. And I argued with his front men back in the 90s, trying to argue that dumping marijuana on the population and telling them that it was safe for them was a great disservice to society. But I don't want to relive that argument. I've made it too many times to make it again, and all I get are the potheads who call me and say, oh, I smoke dope, and I'm still this, and I don't really care. You want to destroy your mind, go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter to me. It's your brain. You want to rot it out. You want to kill your lungs. You want to put yourself on the path to lung cancer. Don't say I didn't warn you. Just do me one favor. Research, very simply, in a search engine, toxins in marijuana smoke. And then you'll see why I'm in favor of using isolated cannabinoids rather than marijuana cigarettes, for that matter. Okay, it's that simple. Of course, there's probably healing powers in some of the cannabinoids. You know, I first learned this many years ago when I was a young pharmacology student. And I remember reading about cocaine as it was used in the Amazon as it was used by the Peruvians in particular. And it was well known that they didn't use cocaine. It was well known that the Peruvians chewed coca leaf. Coca leaf does contain cocaine. But coca leaf also contains numerous other alkaloids that are not like cocaine, and they all work together in a symphony. And it enabled them, when they chewed the coca leaves, to work at high altitudes for long periods of time without eating. So it's almost a miracle leaf for them, the coca leaf. But to isolate the cocaine alkaloid from the coca leaf and use the purified cocaine is a lot different than chewing the coca leaf. Just look at the millions of addicts out there, the cocaine addicts, the crack cocaine addicts. That's an example of isolating a particular alkaloid from a healing plant and running with it on its own. You see what I'm saying to you? It's the same with marijuana. Sure, you can isolate healing principles from it. That doesn't mean you should be using the isolated tetrahydrocannabinol to get high with and tell yourself that you're doing it for your health. You're just doing it because you want to get high. So I think I made my point, but you have to know a little bit more about the bigger subject than just say marijuana is not harmful. And please do not call me on the marijuana. I really am not going to take one marijuana call. I'm not interested in the subject. I just told you everything you need to know. And we'll have an expert on in the next hour. In this hour, we'll have Rowan Scarborough on, as I said, to talk about all the generals Obama is appointing and the unanswered questions about SEAL Team 6 and how they died and what he knows about it today. We have one open line at 855-407-2822. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It was nice. It's nice. People are nice. Country's a much better place. I sleep better at night knowing the generals are in there. All of these cretinous people are going to be gone. These filth are going back to the university jobs, going back to Wall Street. All these anti-American filth, they're going to be thrown out. I can't wait until the inauguration. I have some very good news for you out there. You ready for the Christmas present I just got from the heavens? You know, I am a very controversial figure, meaning I'm popular, I'm successful, I did it on my own. I've won best-selling book after another. I helped elect Donald Trump in a big way. I won the National Radio Hall of Fame Award. In other words, I've hit a lot of milestones in anyone's life. There are such jealous, evil, vicious punks out there that they use cyberbullying to smear me all over the internet. Well, we nailed one of them. He doesn't know it yet. But I hired an expert to find out who this troll was, and we found all of his identities. And I'm not going to give it away right now. But I will tell you this. We found out that this troll, who uses many identities, who has been saying vicious, vicious, horrible things about me, works for the Independent Media Center, a so-called progressive site based in California and England. They are paid trolls who try to smear great Americans, decent Americans, successful Americans. I will use every aspect of the law to go after this person, and if I can, I'll put him in the poorhouse. I will tell you right now, I don't like to be bullied by anybody. I have faced bullies my entire life. I have overcome every bully in my life. I will use every aspect of the law to see this person as broke. I don't care what they hide behind, and I want you to understand something. You know, you read about cyberbullying and how it affects girls, and sometimes they commit suicide. And it does. Young kids are destroyed by cyberbullies. You may not know what it's like to be a very famous person and a very successful person who was bullied by these cowards who are paid by these left-wing organizations. It bothers me. And people say, well, why do you pay attention to them? Why? Because they are the evil ones in society. And if they are so weak that they would hide behind an internet domain that isn't them to smear people, to lie about them, can you just imagine what other crimes they actually may be committing in real life? Do you understand that people who do this on a regular basis are usually perverts? And that if I can, we will find out what else this individual, I'm not going to give any of it away, because he's listening to the show right now, as are the other trolls who will soon be unmasked in this new age in America, the age of the unmasked troll. And they will be publicly humiliated. In addition to that, I will take them to court, and I will make sure they go into the poorhouse. How's that for a nice Christmas present? I got this 1 minute ago. Yeah, we got all the names of all the fake sites that they're on. We know that where they're allocated. We know what university they're doing it under. Oh, yeah. Someone's using a university web account. Would you believe this? We may even sue the university for letting the troll use it. Oh, yeah, there's going to be penalties. They're going to be paying back real big time in the next year. And I'm going to do this for a couple of reasons. One, because, well, I like to get even. Let me put it to you that way. I'm not Gandhi. I'm not Jesus. I'm a human being. I like to get even with bullies. That's number one. Number two is I want to send a message to all the other PJ cowards out there that you will soon be unmasked by me. And I want to encourage all the rest of the people out there who are being trolled or bullied by these people. I will show you how to find out who they are. How's that? It's a good topic, really. Didn't plan on doing it, but it popped up. Now, yesterday we talked about the homeless situation. I don't call them homeless. I call them bums. I tried to explain to you that the word homeless is a construct of the radical left, the same radical left that tells us Obama's suffered from racism, the same radical left that tells us that we should understand radical Islam. You see what I'm saying? So the radical left tells us that there's a thing called homeless. They're not homeless. By definition, they're not homeless. They're bums. Many of these bums are mental cases who in the past would have been incarcerated in mental hospitals because by plain obviousness, they cannot take care of themselves. Now, it was Jerry Brown's father who closed the mental hospitals in California. Did you know that? It's a result of insane liberalism. Do you understand that? We'll talk about it. But next up, Rowan Scarborough on Trump's generals.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I didn't feel an earthquake. I mean, it was earthquake 6.5 trembler off California coast. They're making a big deal of it again. The whole world's coming to an end. I didn't feel the earthquake, nothing. What I do feel is much safer now that Donald Trump's picked some generals to run the Department of Defense instead of a guy. Oh, my God, what a different country it's going to be. And we have with us an expert on the subject, a man whose writings I have read ever since I've been in radio for over 20 years. He's great. Rowan Scarborough of the Washington Times. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Rowan.
Michael, great to talk to you.
So, first, let's go back, if we can. Do you have any new details on the SEAL Team 6 crash investigation you wrote about so completely years ago? Is there anything new on this?
The last I heard, Michael, is that, you know, the family hired Flamen with Freedom House to file a lawsuit against the administration to try to get all the documents the government owns that pertain to this crash. And they have been stonewalled, even though the judge had ordered the government to turn over so many documents over so many months. They had received virtually nothing last time I checked, even though the government acknowledged that they know things or they have documents that were not put in the official file. So
Obama is stonewalling the parents of dead Navy SEALs at the same time he's going on television with Fareed Zakaria to tell us what a great record he has. The man is stonewalling an investigation like this. To me, that unto itself is questionable. So, Rowan, we may see more on it, but right now we don't know anymore. So let's instead talk about what we do know. The generals. I'm very happy with the generals. I know that the left is frightened of the generals that Trump is picking. What's your position in this? Why is Trump picking so many nominees with military experience?
I think part of it, Michael, is that he has virtually no foreign policy experience, no military experience, and he wants to assure the armed forces and the guys out there who've been fighting this war for 15 years that he's going to have advisors at his side that have their welfare at heart. I think that's the signal he wants to send. And in picking James Mattis and now John Kelly to run the Department of Homeland Security, these are two very well-respected four-star generals The Democrats liked him, Republicans liked him, and this assures that the operational generals, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that he has two very good advisors at his side when he's going to make very important decisions on how to destroy the Islamic State. Because after all, that after immigration, destroying the Islamic State is his number two foreign policy priority. And how he's going to do it is going to rest a lot on James Mattis and another Marine, Joseph Dunford, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I think that's why Trump has gone the general route, to reassure people and to get people at his side that are true warriors. These are not politically correct people. They want to go out and find a way to destroy ISIL as fast as they can, and that's what Trump wants.
Well, it's certainly a change from the individual. First of all, both of these generals you mentioned in the beginning were purged by Obama. Mattis was fired by Obama, even though he had a distinguished career. The other gentleman was basically cashiered out of the military, if I'm not mistaken. He also made the ultimate sacrifice in that his son, also a Marine, I believe, died in 2010. I may have the year wrong. He sacrificed his son for this nation. How different that is from the Potemkin generals that Obama has around him. I think it's going to be a much safer nation, Rowan. Don't you?
I think Trump, immigration was his most talked about issue during the campaign. He wants to seal the border. He wants to stop the chaos of deported people going back and forth and committing crimes. And he wants to assure that people who come in every year want to come here. They have a love for freedom in America. John Kelly, retired General John Kelly, is his man. He was the commanding officer of Southern Command. He knows the border. He knows Central America, where a lot of these people come from. And he views the border as a national security threat, not just a social economic threat. And so when Trump wants to seal the border, he has a guy at Homeland Security who will follow his orders and find ways to do it. And so that is what I think will reassure conservatives like yourself who want to see the country go back to the way it was 20, 30 years ago when we actually knew who was coming into the country. And, of course, he's also put another retired general, Michael Flynn, as his national security advisor, who's another non-politically correct leader who wants to destroy the Islamic State and sees it as our number one foreign policy objective. So you have those three retired generals all advising Trump. Things are going to happen in this first year concerning the southern border and concerning how we fight ISIL.
You know, I'm reading today, I posted it from the Free Beacon on michaelsavage.com, Naval Academy hosts Transgender 101 training for midshipmen. We know how insane the military has become under this crazy administration. You also, you know better than I do, certainly, the climate within the military. How quickly do you think this new leadership will be able to get rid of this junk in the military? Transgender 101, political correctness, the crippling rules of engagement. How fast will the military be able to turn around on this insanity that's crippled the entire military in every branch of service?
I think it's going to depend on who he appoints as the service secretaries, because after all, they make the personnel policies, they make the recommendations to the defense secretary on issues like women in combat, transgender, things like naming ships, you know, after Harvey Milk, things like that. Duncan Hunter, a former Marine who's a congressman from California, he wants one of the first things that that James Mattis does is he wants to put an end to political correctness. Stop naming ships after liberal activists. Name them after war heroes, people who did something for the military. Stop the transgender policy. The military should not be funding, you know, a sex change operation. That's not really what their mission is all about. And just tone down the daily political correctness that is so imbued, been imbued in our force. So we have to watch who he appoints as the service secretary. If Duncan Hunter, for example, is named Navy Secretary, in the first year, you're going to see a lot of changes in the Navy. The Navy, you know, outlawed the word man, basically, from titles for the...
Rowan, the present Secretary of the Navy is a woman who's never steered a ship, for God's sakes. Listen to this. The U.S. Naval Academy is bringing in Google employees to provide voluntary transgender 101 training to midshipmen this week as part of an ongoing safe space training series. Can you believe this is what's being done in the military under Obama and what it does to the morale of fighting men across the landscape?
It's called indoctrination. They have a policy now of open transgender serving, and what follows when you do something like that is indoctrination. Everybody has to be taught how to accept this and what the procedures are. You know, there's a manual now for commanders on if somebody wants to have a sex change procedure, reassignment as it is called. There's a manual commanders have to follow step by step, working with medical people and psychological people, working with the person, him or herself, to get this done. So this is all, when you make a big social change like this in the military, indoctrination and manuals and instructions come with it. And I believe that this would be stopped in the military if Trump puts the certain people in positions to make it stop.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to a fighting force, not a dancing force. This is sickening. Nobody wants to pick on transgendered people, but the military is not supposed to be a social, let us say, engineering network for people who have, let us say, a few problems in their lives and want everybody else to twist around them. You know, when this idiot who runs the Defense Department now, this college teacher from Harvard, first announced that he was going to prioritize sex change operations in the military, I went berserk on the show. I said, do you know how much that costs? And then they come up with the big lie that we need as many people in our diverse America to do the best job in our military. How many years of recovery does it take after this surgery for them to be functional, let alone able to fight? The answer is it's all rubbish, and this has to stop. Now, I'm not here to lecture you, nor my audience, but I'm so happy to see, frankly, all these generals that Obama's that Mr. Trump is appointing, and getting rid of the fake generals that Obama appointed. That's another question, and this is an expert area that I know nothing about. Is it possible, just as Obama purged the military of the fighting generals, to purge the military of the fake generals that Obama's put in place?
It's possible. You know, every general usually serves a couple of years in rank, and then they are up for, you know, the third star and the fourth star. So if the White House decides that they don't like the particular career path, they can retire the general. You know, Donald Rumsfeld focused on two-star and three-star generals, and he personally looked at their files because he wanted to make sure he had the kind of fighting force of the future that was going to be molded by these two and three stars, and Trump and his people can do the same thing. You know, James Mattis was in charge of U.S. Central Command. That's the Middle East. That's Iran. And it's not a coincidence that he was retired. Some people think he was pushed out before when the negotiations for the Iran nuclear deal were reaching the critical point, because he was very cold to that nuclear deal. He's very much a hawk on Iran. He did not support the end product. And so there you have a case of Obama making sure there was not a general in his way when he wants to do a big peace deal with a country like Iran. And Trump can go the other way. I mean, he can make sure that he gets real warriors in there who are going to carry out the orders from James Mattis and Joseph Dunford and people like that.
Well, they set Mattis up by saying his crimes were drinking vodka in Moscow and getting drunk and dancing on a table, and number two, using counterfeit coins in an Indian gambling casino. The whole thing sounds like a standard Soviet setup by the American government to get rid of a general who stood in Obama's dictatorial pathway. But I don't want you to comment on that. I'm a mere talk show host, so I can say things that I wouldn't expect a journalist of your caliber to agree with. But I'm telling you, that's the way I see it. So I believe it's a very good thing. I sleep better at night knowing we're going to have real generals, real men running the country and running the security apparatus in particular. But why are the liberals so freaked out over it? I would guess it's because they want all their social agenda to remain in place, the transgender, this, the PC stuff. What are they afraid? This is going to become like Argentina and the generals are going to round them up in the middle of the night?
They are looking for ways to oppose Trump's cabinet appointees or give them a rough time. I mean, that's what they're slowly developing a ground game on, since they don't have the majority in either house, of how are they going to counterattack Trump. And one of the ways is to go against his appointees. I mean, surely the Pruitt, the EPA administrator, is going to get a real tough time from Democrats. With the generals that he's named, these two guys so far, I mean, they are actually so respected on Capitol Hill, it's really going to be difficult to come at them from a competent standpoint. So you come at them from the idea that we have too many retired generals holding civilian positions, and it's a danger to our democracy. So that's
liberal. Sure. Yeah, right. A guy like General Kelly in Homeland Security is just exactly what we need after all these years of Jay Johnson, who let one terrorist attack after another occur right under his nose and never got fired. I guarantee you, if we do have another terrorist attack, he will crack down like a hammer on an anvil, and he's not going to sit and wait to hear what the New York Times thinks he ought to do. Anyway, Rowan Scarborough, really love reading your columns in the Washington Times. I look forward to seeing what you produce in the coming weeks and months, and I hope you'll join us again on The Savage Nation.
Thank you a lot, Michael.
Bye now. I haven't had Rowan on for years, but with the appointment of the generals and the hysterical attacks by the illegitimate left, I figure that it's time, you know. Here's one. Critics seize on troubling quote from General Kelly's emotional speech honoring Marines. Retired general gave speech 4 days after son's death in Afghanistan. And apparently that bothered all of the psychos in the Washington Post. And I'll tell you what it was about when I return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It's a very sad thing to announce, but it's something that awaits all of us. John Glenn, astronaut and a former senator, died at age 95 after a brief illness. You know what? It's not a bad way to go. And he was the original rocket man, first American to orbit the Earth, later a U.S. senator. He died this afternoon, surrounded by his family at OSU, Wexner Medical Center in Columbus. He was 95 years old. So he is one of the great Americans. I recognize many of you have grievances with everyone on the planet, and you'll find something to nitpick about him. He was a liberal this, he was a liberal that. And you'll ignore the fact that he was also one of the bravest men on the planet to have gone into orbit. When he did, do you have any idea what that was like? What guts it took? What it still takes? No. Not to the trolls out there, the people in filthy pajamas in San Diego who sit there with Soros' money attacking every decent American out there. And speaking of that, listen to this one. Critics seize on troubling quote from General Kelly's emotional speech honoring Marines. Listen to the audacity of these filthy bums in the ACLU. The retired general gave a speech 4 days after his son was killed in Afghanistan, and the rats in the ACLU are attacking him. Attacking him. The Washington Post is attacking him in these filthy liberal rags. Listen to this. Listen to what the vermin in the ACLU was saying in advance. I don't even want to repeat it. Well, maybe I will repeat it in the next hour. As you know, Kelly has been selected as the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. We will all sleep better at night, knowing that he will not hesitate, as true Marines do, in going after the vermin in headscarves who are hiding around America, hiding knowing that they won't be touched until they kill your children. Well, let me tell you something. Those days are over. And they're all buying one-way tickets to Crapistan right now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I can recommend a good travel agent for the thousands of Islamists waiting to kill our children who have been getting away with virtual murder because of Jay Johnson and Barack Obama and the other quislings in this government who sit there with their hands shaking saying, oh, no, 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 no. You must tolerate all religions. No, no, no. No, no, no. Wait until I kill someone till you say anything and then don't say Islam. Don't say Muslim. I have one advice, one piece of advice for all of you listening, which is I know a good travel agent for all of you. His name is retired Marine General John Kelly. Give him a quick call and let him know what your plans are because maybe he can help you get there faster. So listen to what the liberals are doing now. Retired General Kelly gave a speech 4 days after his son was killed in Afghanistan serving the nation. And in the speech, he said, their struggle is your struggle. This is after his son was dead. And he gave the speech honoring the sacrifices made by America's armed forces, and particularly the Marines. And he said, their struggle is your struggle, said General Kelly. They disdain those who claim to support them, but not the cause that takes their innocence, their limbs, and their lives. He said, as a democracy, we must support them. I know it doesn't apply to anyone in this room today, but if anyone thinks you can somehow thank them for their service and not support the cause for which they fight, our country, then these people are lying to themselves and rationalizing away something in their own lives, but more importantly, they are slighting our warriors and mocking their commitment to this nation. Well, they went crazy. They're calling it a troubling quote in the Washington Post. The ACLU had the nerve to say this. Senators should look closely at this speech and its implications, said Christopher Anders, deputy director of the so-called ACLU in Washington, D.C. He said, as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, General Kelly will have an obligation to tolerate and respect the wide range of values and views of our big country. Oh, hey, I could write a whole book on that one. Let's say a whole chapter on your wide range of values. You know what your values are? You know what I like to do to your values? You know what I know what your word for tolerance means? I can't say it's a family show. So I can't wait for the hearings, the confirmation hearings for General Kelly, which will take place next year when the new Congress takes over. I intend to be on the radio telling you who the enemies of America are. I will name them. I will tell you who they are. I'll tell you what they're going to say. And we're going to support General Kelly from top to the bottom. We're going to deliver a blizzard of emails in support of General Kelly, and we will shame all of those who try to stop him from taking this most important job, especially after all these years of Jay Johnson, who has permitted one terrorist attack after another without being fired by Mr. Hussein, his boss. Bravo, Michael. Very good. Very good, Michael. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. Well, we're talking about other questions. And I suppose we can get a few callers occasionally. I think Clint can put the phone down or pick it up and change some of the calls now because we've moved on. Let us go to some of those callers. I don't know. I'm not ready for callers. I think I'll go to sound. Maybe we'll go to sound. What should I play? We played Obama already telling us it was racism that interfered with his agenda. It was racism, right? It was white people who elected him. It was the white people who put him in office, but it's racism still. Okay, we did that already. Let's see. Oh, so Obama is in front of Fareed Zakaria, the guy with the bug eyes. Zakaria, let's put it this way, is not one of my favorite people on CNN. Now, that's an oxymoronic statement, just to say not one of my favorite people on CNN, because there are no people on CNN. So I can't have any favorite people. There's just ghouls. There's just left-wing fanatics on CNN. Zachariah is perhaps the craziest of all of them. And that's why he and the president have such a harmony with each other. They kind of vibe each other. They belong in the same vibration. So here is clip four of the two bug jobs, Zachariah and Hussein, talking about Obama's legacy on the Savage Nation.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
What does that mean? Does anyone understand what Obama speaks in jargon? He can't say anything correctly or straight. Everything's a twisted statement. How do you think he became president? By being honest? He became president by knowing how to twist the truth and never say anything that's real. That's all. Next case. Well, then he goes into the race again. I don't want to go into this. What else do we have? Obama's now a shadow of its former... He says Al-Qaeda is now a shadow of its former self. Okay. You know what's going on? It's interesting in Syria right now, in Aleppo. Now that the vermin are being driven out as a result of Russia, because Russia finally took the gloves off and started bombing them a year ago, then suddenly said, yeah, me too. Obama said, oh, yeah, me too. After first condemning the Russians because they were blowing up our moderate terrorists, now all of a sudden the rats are running out of one side of Aleppo, while on the other. Listen to an interesting story. Okay, so Aleppo is a city where the rats are being driven out finally. The side where the rats live is radical Muslim territory. Women are not allowed to walk around without wearing a headscarf. In other words, the religious thought police operate in that side of the city. It's all rubble. There's no food. There's no nothing. On the other side of Aleppo, there are the Christians, the Alawites. They're leading an almost normal life. There is food. There's electricity. There's water. The children go to school. There's no murder. Those are the people that Obama has tried to destroy. Do you understand how distorted Obama is? Do you know how nuts this man is? The very people that Assad has protected are the ones who are living and thriving. And they include, by the way, moderate educated Muslims, incidentally. The educated, the modern Muslims, along with the Christians and the Alawites, are leading a decent life in their side of Aleppo, while on the other side, the barbaric throwbacks who are adhering to Islamic, primitive Islamic law are being driven into hell where they belong. Now ask yourself why Obama was on the side of the barbaric hordes in that side of Aleppo. Ask yourself why he sent the CIA to train them. Ask yourself why he sent weapons to them. And now you'll understand what his true legacy, as opposed to the legacy put out by CNN. Okay, having said that, we can now move on to something less emotionally important. And let's see now. Shall I talk about the tower, the Fifth Avenue Tower, the comings and goings, and Leon DiCaprio going? I don't know who's going to... If I wake up tomorrow and I see Larry David waving from the tower, I don't know what to think next. Woody Allen seen coming out of the tower, riding the elevator. I mean, who's going to be the next one that's called into the tower, I want to know. You know, but I understand what it is. Is he's trying to bring the opposition to his side, you know. And it's very, just diplomatically very intelligent. You know, why wouldn't you bring them in there? Why not bring a phony like Leon DiCaprio in there? The genius in science, a scientific genius, who knows everything about global warming. After all, he flies in his jet and rides in his yacht. He must know about global warming. He must be an expert in it. You know what I haven't played yet is the coming war with China. That's a big one. There is an author named John Pilger. And, of course, he thinks that we're provoking China into war, not the other way around. This is only 1 minute and 38 seconds. Let's go to clip 19 on the coming war with China by John Pilger.
The world is being primed to regard China as a new enemy. The great power game is called perpetual war.
Our first president, George Washington, said, if you want peace, prepare for war.
Where are we going to stop this process before it starts a war?
The aim of this film is to break a silence, and nuclear war is no longer unthinkable. The equivalent of one Hiroshima bomb was exploded in these islands every day for 12 years.
They're not trying to run the world. They want to keep America from dominating.
We need an enemy for all this money, and China's the perfect enemy.
United States scientists conducted human radiation experiments to study how human beings absorb radiation.
There's really nothing more terrifying than this.
The Chinese, 2,000 years ago, built the Great Wall to keep the barbarians out, not to invade them.
As we look at China on the map, we can see that China is the basic cause of all of our troubles in Asia.
China, they want to dominate a huge chunk of the planet.
It is time to show the whole world that America is back.
I pity a country that would come up against us. We get better and better and better.
All right, so this is propaganda put out by the radical left. He's obviously an apologist, this guy, for China, where America's always bad, and in this case, China's only good. But an article came out just today where China's leading newspaper is saying that they need more nuclear weapons to deal with Trump. Government mouthpiece newspaper says extra defense is required should U.S. treat Beijing unacceptably. An editorial in the pro-government Global Times said China should significantly increase military spending and build more nuclear weapons as a response to comments made by Donald Trump on the country's policies. They want to deploy the DF-41 intercontinental ballistic missile to protect its interests should Trump attempt to corner the country in an unacceptable way. So I'll ask you, who's raising the stakes here, we or them? Obviously it's them. It's the Communist Party. It's the Communist officials who are the paranoid lunatics who are talking about a nuclear war, not Donald Trump. Period, end of story. Let's move on. Let's go to Trump naming fast food CEO as labor secretary, Andrew Puzder. And Puzder is a vocal opponent of raising the minimum wage. He's a vocal opponent of Obamacare. He said both are job killers. I agree that Obamacare is a job killer. I do not agree that the minimum wage is a job killer. There is a reason for a minimum wage. I have worked for minimum wage. Most of those who are opposing the minimum wage have never worked as a poor child or a poor man. They don't know anything about starvation wages. And listen to me very carefully. Stop reading your textbook written 300 years ago. Stop quoting textbooks of 300 years ago on the world in which we live. If you eliminate the minimum wage and you let the free market, so-called, dictate what people will pay for wages, you will devolve it to what, $1 an hour? What would you then want? Child labor? You want to eliminate the child labor safety laws? Because that's what you're arguing for. The minimum wage was put in place to prevent the exploitation of poor people. Now, how can any of you phony critics who are attacking the minimum wage live on it yourself? Tell me how you'd live on it. The people who are working for the minimum wage often work two jobs, if not three jobs, and they hardly sleep. What would you like them to do now? Starve in the streets? That's my position on it. It's based on reality, not based upon a textbook. KSFO Tom, I think you disagree with me. Go ahead, please.
Actually, I don't disagree with you. I spent quite a bit of time in a high-level academic economics department. And, of course, as you know, the dogma there is free trade is wonderful. It's the most efficient allocation of human capital, and that the minimum wage is a distortion. So I agree with you on the minimum wage. However, I realized how hypocritical they were, because these very professors who spouted this, and, of course, I had to parrot it back to get my grades, they had tenure and protection, and their doctoral fellows could not compete for their jobs if they were better. You could have a very bright PhD candidate. He gets his PhD and they say goodbye. He can't go after his professor's job because there is no competition on the campus. It's totally
right.
Critical.
Absolutely not. And these old tenured professors make sure that they only hire people who are inferior to them, by and large. They love foreign grad students. who they can manipulate and frighten, and they also hold on to their jobs by never hiring the best and the brightest in their labs. I know it for a fact. I remember it from years ago, and it still goes on. It's a disaster. The universities are filled with nepotism and filled with a sort of socialism, and I would call it crony socialism. We've heard of crony capitalism. Have we heard the words crony socialism? It exists in every university in America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with a scientist about the benefits of cannabinoids in treating various illnesses and whatnot, and how it's being used to treat depression, anxiety. I'd be very interested to find out what he has to say, because in my knowledge of the use of cannabinoids from the marijuana cigarette itself, for example, or even from other sources of marijuana, marijuana promotes anxiety and depression. I don't know how they could say it's the opposite. That's what I want to know. I want to know which alkaloid it is that actually, you know, limits anxiety, because I can tell you right now, you ask any Chinese herbalist who knows anything about this, the first thing they will tell a depressive is stop smoking marijuana. You know, I like, many of you think, oh, third worlders are into this. They're not into this. Go to any real Chinese herbalist, not a phony American who studied on an online course, and a real Chinese herbalist will tell you stop smoking pot if you're full of anxiety and depression. So I want to find out which cannabinoid is used to treat anxiety and depression, by the way. That's one of the things I'm interested in, which is why I had him on the show. And we'll continue to talk about that minimum wage position that I'm taking. Many of you have never worked for minimum wage. You have the mistaken notion that the free market will determine the minimum wage. That is not true. It doesn't work that way. That's a textbook view of Economics 101. Adam Smith is dead a long time now. Take a look, for example, at what Mark Zuckerberg does to lower the wages that he pays his workers. He fires American workers, he brings in Indians, and he uses the H-1B visas to do that. So now you're supporting that because it's a lower wage, you're telling me that's free market capitalism? So which side are you on? Now you love Zuckerberg? Watch out where you go with your thinking, because it's not thinking. Secondly, what would you like the people to do? Work for a dollar an hour, 75 cents an hour, 50 cents an hour? Bringing people from China now to compete with them for a quarter an hour and let them live like coolies somewhere?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation. Now it's time to talk about something that's not political but sort of borders on the political, and that's the use of cannabinoids in treating illnesses and for various and sundry other issues. Now, many of you don't know what cannabinoids are. They occur in certain plants. Notably, you probably know they occur in marijuana, and there are molecules within the marijuana plant, but there are many other active principles in the marijuana plant that I want to talk about. And we have an expert with us, Dr. Cass Ingram. Dr. Ingram, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Great to be here. How are you doing?
So, question for you. You are proposing, I think, the use of cannabinoids, I don't know which cannabinoids, by the way, to reduce anxiety and depression. Can you tell us which cannabinoids you recommend?
Yes, I recommend the whole food form of cannabinoids, or the whole food crude extract, whether in a cannabis supplement or even in the foods. See, what we don't realize is...
Wait. So you're proposing that we eat marijuana in foods?
I don't really recommend chewing on marijuana at this point. I'm recommending, as you see, the actual foods that are rich in cannabinoids. What a lot of people don't know is that what makes you feel good just happens to be rich in cannabinoids, like the smell of a carnation.
Ah, okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so for example, also, we know that cannabis is rich. It has an odor. The same chemical that's responsible for the odor. You ask which chemicals? It's the cannabinoids and the terpenes. So the terpenes give the smell of cannabis, but that same terpene also gives you the smell from a carnation, from chamomile. Chamomile is quite relaxing, as is cannabis extract. They both are rich in the same cannabinoid. And, you know, everybody loves pizza. Who's going to have a pizza without oregano? Oregano's rich. Who's going to have pesto sauce without basil? Basil is rich in cannabis. Cinnamon is rich. Are you going to have cinnamon toast without cinnamon or a cappuccino without cinnamon? So mm-hmm. are unwittingly loving cannabinoids, and we don't even have any clue.
But, for example, I know that the active principle that gets people high in marijuana is tetrahydrocannabinol. We all know that. But let us say oregano. Let's look at oregano. What cannabinoids are found in oregano that we might note during this great interview?
The big one is the terpene known as beta-carophyllin. It's actually what gives oregano its smell. And you know, we don't use a lot of oregano or cinnamon or whatever, and we're still getting this feel-goody thing, and we don't even realize it. So there's two things. You mentioned it from the beginning. You have the cannabinoids, which there are 80 of them. Cannabis is the richest source. And then you have the terpenes, which just so happen to be very powerful cannabinoids. And so now we know the reason that I'm getting such fantastic results with, you know, clinically since I wrote my book, is I'm recommending that people take the whole food unprocessed, not just CBD in a drug form or in a supplement form, but the crude extract. That's where I'm getting the best results. It's got the terpenes, it's got the cannabinoids, all together, about 400 different natural chemicals.
Well, I had mentioned before you came on the show that in my experience and in my readings over the years, smoking marijuana does not alleviate anxiety or depression. It actually makes it much worse. So which cannabinoids might reduce anxiety and depression would be of interest to me and maybe my listeners.
Yeah, it's the terpenes. They're the big cannon. You know, they're about 2% of cannabis by weight. And I'm talking about industrial hemp so I can stay away from the THC, because I do have some clients that react to THC. It shows up in the drug tests. So we're talking a good crude extract of industrial hemp is very rich in the terpenes. If I've been giving that to depressives, to anxiety, even people on SSRI drugs with their doctor, they're weaning off using this kind of an extract. At the same
when you say terpenes, Mr. Ingram, which specific terpene, or you're just saying a broad spectrum of terpenes?
Limonene, you know, think of the neat thing there. Limonene, that's what's in lemons. Pinene, you know, that's in like pine, but it's also in cannabis. And the big one is beta-carophyllin. You're going to be hearing more and more about this. It's a powerful cannabinoid. It's antidepressant. It's anti-tumor, anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety. And so I'm getting the results without using marijuana. And here's the other problem with smoking. When you smoke, how much active ingredient do you get? You're going to burn it all up. You get a trace. With an extract, you're going to get a high dose. You're going to get more efficacy. You know, so what I've been using is hemp.
Well, look, this is a subject that's of great interest to me. I'm a former phytochemist. I have a master's degree in ethnobotany. You may not know that. So this is not of casual interest to me. It's just that I haven't done any of this for so many years. But if you are saying that there are terpenes that reduce anxiety and that there are cannabinoids that can be extracted from marijuana or other let us say botanicals, this is miraculous for many people who are suffering, and I think it explains why people argue over whether or not we should use marijuana for illnesses. I've long said, why not use the active principles that treat the illnesses rather than using it to get high? Because the getting high part of it is not, from my point of view, a problem. It's the medical problems related to getting high that bother me. It's the social problems in getting high that frighten me a little bit, because people are going to be looking for that high, whether it be from marijuana or other drugs. And I think that we should try to separate the healing properties of cannabinoids from the getting high properties of cannabinoids. I'm not asking you to concur with that. You may disagree with me on it. I'm fascinated to learn the actual chemical names, or let's say the chemical groups that are used. What emotional problems typically resolve when cannabinoids are added to the diet, doctor?
Talking about getting rid of anxiety, nervousness, nervous agitation, irritability. This can save lives, as you know. Chronic depression. I've got 5 case histories now. They're doing very, very well with my dietary suggestions and adding this hempanol, and I'll tell you what that is. But so So mostly the depression, anxiety, irritability syndromes that are responding. Also insomnia. This thing hammers it. I'm a 50-year insomniac, written 25 books, you know, so I've obliterated my insomnia.
You sound like somebody I know. In other words, you never sleep, but you put it to good use.
Exactly. So and writing books when I can't sleep at night, if you know what I mean. So now.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You're going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg by healing yourself. You'll stop writing and you'll start relaxing. What good is that?
Just too much fun. So,
now, you also talk about the fact that very serious medical conditions such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's respond favorably to consumption of plant extract oils. Which are those that you think work?
Well, the best things are twofold. One is the actual cannabinoid extract. You see it as hempanol. It's a crude extract, either with the oregano or by itself, which is basically supercritical extract. When you supercritical extract and you're dealing with the inflammatory diseases of the brain, then you get all the anti-inflammatory compounds. That's a raw extract, by the way. So that's one thing. That improves the signaling between the brain cells. That's what the cannabinoids and the terpenes do for a living.
What if I sprinkle organic oregano on my foods, which I do, by the way, whenever I make Italian food. I've always loved oregano since I'm a child. It's a trivial source of these cannabinoids. I recognize that. But is there any activity even from food-grade oregano, for example?
We'll get it. The only issue with food-grade oregano is it's usually only 25% wild oregano, 75% ground-up leaves and sumac leaves and grass. They cut it.
But what if it says organically grown oregano? Are they faking that too?
Well, no, that organic part is correct. It's just you have to try to find the uncut spice. So that would be like a bunch of oregano hanging in a bunch. That if you start sprinkling that on, you're going to really notice the kick.
I used to grow oregano in my little garden. And I noticed it tasted fabulous on some of my foods. But what are the effects of oregano, for example? Are you saying that it's primarily anti-anxiety? What else does it do?
Anti-anxiety, anti-depression, anti-insomnia, the oregano, anti-infective. And in fact, you hit right on it. The second thing I was going to tell you, for neurological, like your MS, your Parkinson's, your ALS, your Alzheimer's, your inflammatory, even your cancer, is to move into the oil of oregano or the wild oregano extract. Not just because of the cannabinoids, but because it's an antiseptic, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial.
Yes. Well, many of the spices, as you well know, I've studied ethnic nutrition going back thousands of years. Most of these spices were not introduced for flavoring, but they were introduced for all of these other effects. They were introduced at a time when there was no refrigeration, no preservation. The spices are tremendously antimicrobial. In the sense they were used as preservatives, per se, weren't they?
The U.S. of A. was made on spices indirectly, not because Columbus was trying to find and got the wrong place, but more because in the galleons, in the ships, all the way until the 1750s, you're right, they mixed cinnamon and cloves and cumin with the food so they could eat it.
You mean to preserve it on those long voyages without refrigeration, correct?
Exactly. Even the meat stuff they did it with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's where pemmican comes in these days. It's basically spiced meat, which is a way of preserving it without using not needing refrigeration. So let's go back to the simple thing people listening to the show right now are saying, well, what's this stuff sounds interesting. I'm going to go get some organic oregano, whatever. What will they feel just from a little oregano in their food every day? Will it have any effect at all?
Boost your mood. Just boost your, just like you love the smell of it, if you use it regularly, also protect your immune system from viruses. It's such a powerful antiseptic. And this is true of turmeric, cinnamon, clove, oregano. If you add more, you're going to be less vulnerable to winter illnesses, amongst other.
So there goes the Indian food. There comes the Indian food. More of the Indian food in the winter. You know, the Romanians, or the Middle Europeans, long used, I'd like your opinion on this one, paprika. Paprika is just a very condensed form of red pepper, isn't it?
It is, and you know, paprika is extremely high in the Hungarian form in vitamin C. St. Georgi first made his extract from paprika.
Yeah.
So there is a big history here, And we do need...
I worked in this field while Linus Pauling was still alive, so these names mean a lot to me. Much of this has been lost for the last 30 years. It's now coming back. And it's interesting to me that people are recognizing the power of plants and healing again. What is your background? Are you a naturopath by training?
I'm a physician, osteopathic medicine, general practitioner. And, you know, I got that IV. The way I got into this in a big way, I got nicked with an IV needle, bad case back in 1988, AIDS-type syndrome. And I got cured with the wild oregano oil and something called Oregamax. I took them as a 1-2 punch. They weren't even really on the market at the time, and it obliterated the infection. It took six.
You know what? You know, during my break, I'm eating a hamburger and French fries right now from my favorite Italian restaurant. The minute we get off the air and I take my break, I'm going to get my organic oregano and sprinkle it on the French fries. I want to see what it does. What it does for me. Where do you practice medicine?
In Illinois, in Lake Forest, Illinois.
Thank God you're not San Francisco. Your credibility just went up much higher on the show. I mean, anyone who lives in Illinois and practices this kind of medicine is certainly more trustworthy than anyone who claims to practice it in San Francisco. It's so filled with uneducated crackpots. They don't even know what a terpene is. If you say to them alkaloid, they don't know what you're talking about. They think you're talking about alcoholics, and yet they're experts on plant medicine in San Francisco. So what's the name of your book?
That's called The Cannabis Cure at CassIngram.com or 1-800. They're the cannabis extract experts.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, this is good stuff. I really do enjoy it. I hope we'll have you back on the show around the holiday times. Get people off that alcohol and get them on the cannabinoids. But again, neither you or I are promoting the use of getting high on marijuana, are we?
No, not at all. In fact, this is a great antidepressant to use the extract, where you get a higher dose and you can maybe work with your physician, hopefully, to even get off the drugs. That's how good it is.
All right. This is great. Cass Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M, the plant man. We'll have you back many times on the show. I appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
We're running short of time. Love this kind of show. I haven't done this in years. For a number of reasons, but it's the right time to do it because the man is a phytochemical expert, and he's not just promoting the use of marijuana. I wanted you to understand that there are cannabinoids that don't get you high that are healing. That was the main point of that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The world's going to change rapidly under Donald Trump, whether it be, you know, he doesn't drink. It's a funny thing. When I first met him, and it was only briefly, I looked up a little bit about his past. He doesn't drink alcohol. And I said, boy, this is pretty unusual for a man of his stature. And I think that that's going to be a big, big, big issue during his administration. It's funny how the libs don't give him any credit for that, incidentally. This may be the first non-drinking president, and think about this, that we've had in like forever. Did we ever have a non-drinking president? This is why he's up in the middle of the night tweeting, probably, because he's not laying there in a stupor. I don't know if Obama drank. He's a zealot, but I mean, he's probably a wine guy, the Chardonnay type. You know, anything light, anything on the light side to maintain his figure. You know, if you're a narcissist, you got to constantly look in the mirror and you don't want to put on any weight. So you drink a light wine, you know. No, but I don't know what kind of... You look at the other presidents. Bush looks to me like a... he was a drinker, right? Like a Cutty Sark. Oh, he was right. He had been a drinker. Gave it up because he got into trouble. So he was colder. See, but there's a difference between being not a drinker and being someone who's a reformed alcoholic. That's a huge difference. Trump was never an alcoholic because he had a brother who I think had trouble with drinking, and he decided never to drink, and it made him a much better man. That's a little different. I'm not knocking people who give up the drinking, but it's a different thing because everyone knows that if you give up drinking, if you're a heavy drinker, they called you like a coal, you're always an alcoholic, right? Isn't that what they say in treatment? that even if you gave it up, you still have an alcoholic personality. So it's an interesting discussion, but we haven't gotten back to the minimum wage thing. We're going to talk about the cannabinoids, whatever else you want, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, that was a great interview. I haven't done one of those forever. Phytochemistry is so fascinating. I was once as obsessed with plant chemistry as I am with talk radio. I spent my every waking minute studying the chemicals in plants and healing plants and searching for them. And most of the ignoramuses out there don't realize that I think 20-some-odd percent of all of our medicines still derived from natural products. The ignorant folk out there, and there are things yet to be discovered from the natural world for healing that will come along in our lifetimes, your lifetimes. The biggest area that hasn't been explored yet are not plants, but the sea creatures and the chemicals that are found in some of these sea creatures. I remember when I was in a pharmacology lab in the late 60s in my professor's lab, he was fascinated with sea creatures, and he was extracting chemicals from the sea creatures for medicine. He was the former director of research for the largest pharmaceutical company in the world, so he really knew his chemistry. I loved those years. I had such a love for this field. Sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't go back into it as a hobby or fun people in the field. You know, I don't know. I'm so far removed from it. But nature still holds so many valuable things for us. Look, I got to tell you this. This is hour three. And you know the mood usually changes. And we're drifting into this almost like it's almost over the year, right? So the tempo's changing. But my show is actually getting more energized rather than less energized. I'm not just throwing it away. I mean, we've done some great stuff today. The Generals, the SEAL Team 6 with Rowan Scarborough. We did the doctor on depression, anxiety with ancient therapies, plant medicines, and all the news of the day. It's the kind of show I really like to do. But I want to just give you a hint at what's coming with this show in January. In radio, you win some and you lose some. It's just an old piece of knowledge. You gain stations, you lose them. I will be losing some stations, but what you don't know is that I can't even tell you where. I'm not going to make the announcement because you'll throw a kibosh on it, and I don't want to kill it. I don't want to kibosh my own, but I'm going to have a major announcement, I would say, before the end of the year, that will revolutionize the listenership of this program. A lot of my enemies are celebrating the fact that I'm being taken off WMAL in Washington, which is a disastrously stupid mistake on the part of those who are doing it. My ratings are super high. It was done for political reasons, in my opinion, because I helped elect Trump. I mean, I don't care what they say, what spin they put on it. They're punishing me for having elected Trump. Okay, you know what? They're going to have to live with it. And I will have to live with what I'm saying to you right now. There's good news coming as well as that bad news. And I'll make sure that you know it when I can announce it. So I have something to look forward to in 2017. And I hope you'll be there with me to enjoy the, let us say, the new audience that will suddenly be appearing. Now, let's go back to the issues at hand. The issues at hand are Donald Trump. Now, we see that Donald Trump talked climate change with Leon DiCaprio. Now, many of you are shocked, saying, how could he take a guy in who put him down, who said he'd leave the country, a guy who's a known liar and an idiot, DiCaprio. The man knows nothing about climate science, absolutely nothing. He is a dumb, uneducated actor. He's a parrot. But he influences a lot of idiots out there. I mean, there's a female actress who appears on a toilet sitting there and puts that up on her website or whatever, on her Twitter feed. Literally going to the bathroom on a toilet bowl. And this has a following, this creature. So you got to understand how many millions of stupid people there are out there who think that actors and actresses are smart, and they believe everything they say. So it's very smart of Trump to meet with this dumbbell. I think it's very clever. The tower, the elevators, the marble, the in and out of we're all watching the tower. Who will go in the tower next? All the cameras, click, click, outside. I wouldn't be surprised, I said the last hour, if next we see Larry David seen going in the tower, zooming up in the elevator. I don't know what Trump would talk with Larry David about. Here comes Woody Allen into the tower. Man who said he'd leave the universe if Donald Trump win. There goes Woody Allen schlepping into the tower. Wait, wait, wait. Look over there. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Robert De Niro going into the tower. The man who said he punched Donald in the nose. The next day he said he was a great man. Wonderful, these people. So we don't know who might go in there. Everyone has said they leave the country. Looks like they're running to the tower. It's a great time to be in America because we have real strong men coming in to protect us and defend us. This doesn't mean that we're immune from attack. Don't get me wrong. My prediction is we'll have more attacks rather than less, by the way. But the reaction to them is going to be swift, and it's going to be brutal. And I can guarantee you that they will diminish after they may, in other words, they may flare up soon after Trump becomes president. Let me put it to you that way. But soon after that flare up, the disease will be annihilated. That's my estimation. I'd love to see the wall go up. I'd love to see Muslims banned from entering this country if they're coming from war zones such as those in Syria. I mean, let's be clear. Everybody knows that that needs to be done. Everyone in Europe knows that needs to be done. So why should we be immune to the fact that this is what's going on in the world? Look what's going on in Aleppo right now in Syria. I've told you that in the last hour. The part of Aleppo that is dominated by the Islamists is a wreck. It's a smoking hellhole. It's a place where women are forced to wear the headdress and do the whole, you know, mumbo-jumbo thing. On the other side, you've got the secular Muslims, the educated Muslims. You've got Christians, you've got Alawites, and they're going about their business as though there's no war. How is it that you can't see the difference between people who are practicing a retrograde view of their religion, what it does to every area they enter, and people who are living in another world, like us? Why would you want to bring the retrogrades into this country, like Obama is doing around the clock, unless you hate the nation or you're a moron yourself? Okay, that's all. That's the whole story. I know you don't want to talk about it. You'd rather talk about oregano oil and minimum wage. I get it. And before I take some of the calls, I want to tell you that what Trump is doing in his appointments is very good. So far, so good. And I want to refer to where I think he has to go. There is an architectural plan that got him elected, and I believe that scorched earth, restoring the country after Obama, contains a lot of the guideposts of where Trump must go in his future plans for America. That is why I wrote it. That is why it is still selling like crazy. And I suggest you don't put your copy of Scorched Earth away. I suggest you first go out and look at it and see the book that launched this campaign, because that's the book that launched this campaign. Never mind what my detractors may say. They're just jealous because I won, they lost. I saw the winner a long time ago. They didn't. And the fact is that since I won the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, which is a big deal in the industry, the jealousy level is at an all-time peak. It's a great honor. It's the greatest honor I've ever had in my professional life. And I want to thank every one of you who are listening to the show who texted my name during that fight for that nomination. Don't think I don't know what did it. It's the listeners who did it. And I was in competition with a very able broadcaster, Sean Hannity. I'm nothing against him. I actually like Sean. I've said that before. Although we compete in many markets, you know, it's like I see Sean in a different way than you may think. I like to watch fights, like boxing matches, and I always see that right after the match, although they were pummeling themselves, the fighters will often hug each other right after that fight, and they understand each other's situation. They understand that they were battling for something. Well, that's how I see him. I can't say that for others in the business. I cannot say that there are people on his level in the business. And that's why I rarely mention him at all. I beat him fair and square in the vote, and that's it. My guess is he'll win next year, by the way. You can say that right now. I'll be the first to congratulate him. It's a huge deal. It's a little glass thing, you know, Hall of Fame award, but I have it in my little cabinet. And what other awards are there for me in this business? Now, tell me where I go from here. If you're in the rock and roll business, you want to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? Well, in the radio business, that's it. Where do I go from here? Tell me. That's it. I know where to go. What am I going to do next? Yeah, here's the... Let me say something else. I mean, it's almost like the truth serum now. It's like a truth serum hour. I have long believed and felt somewhere in another dimension of myself that there was something waiting for me right after the incarnation of radio. Just soon thereafter, something different was waiting for me, and I didn't know what it was. And I still, to this day, don't know what it is. Sometimes I think, is it going back into a botanical medicine? I mean, adding it. I don't mean leaving radio and running to the jungles. I'm saying going back to the things that once excited me and so it just got me so everywhere around my mind. Is that what's coming? It's certainly not politics. I told you all along the way that I was not looking for a job in politics. I couldn't do any of that. I could never get dressed and go to work every day and sit over a bureaucracy and talk to people and listen to meetings. I would go insane from it after a day. So that's not what I'm looking for. I don't know what it is. There's something out there. I know there's something right outside the horizon. And I can almost, it's palpable, I can almost touch it, but I don't know what it is. But something different is happening in 2017 for me. I can feel it, number one, and I've been told it by people who deal in other dimensions. Okay, and I'm going to leave it at that. So that's a long way of sharing some truths with the people who love this show. And we're already through the first stop set, which is awesome. I don't know how that happened. It's one of those. It must be the hamburger and fries and the oregano and the onion and the chopped garlic. I don't know what it is, but I'll be back in a minute to take your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. If I could spend a whole hour talking about the dangers of vegan diets and vegetarianism, people are going to go crazy, but it's a mythology. I'm not saying you should engorge yourself in meat fat and eat, you know, leg of lamb, but I got to tell you, there's a big argument to be made for the occasional indulgence of the things that most Americans grow up on. The more, you know, you look around, you see these emaciated mothers feeding their emaciated children emaciated sushi with no nutrient. There's almost no nutrients in the food they feed them. I see these poor kids. They take a young boy, a growing boy, and give him sushi at night. And it's got to be, of course, a vegetarian sushi, not even with a piece of fish in it. The children are dying from starvation. They look it. They have no drive, no testosterone, raising a whole generation of boys who have no masculinity. It's all related to not only the diet, of course. This is related to a show I saw last night on TV. I forget the name of it. It showed there are classes on how to be a man in Russia right now. Now, there's a tragic element to this story. So many millions of men in Russia were killed in World War II. We're talking about in the order of, what, 30 million men were killed in World War II? That the society is lopsided with more women than men, and a lot of children in Russia were raised by single mothers. God bless them, not knocking it. But the boys have no role models. They don't know how to be a man. And there are actual classes now in Russia being taught by macho men on how to be a man in Russia. Would you believe this? I saw the show. It was awesome to watch. There was this stocky guy who was an ex-Vesnaz fighter in Afghanistan, known for having killed many Afghani murderers with his bare hands. And he was teaching them how to fight, number one. But then there were other classes. It's not just about punching and kicking and hitting. They showed another side of the class of how to be a man, which is amazing. So they set up a guy with a girl, pretty girl, let's say, for each of them, and they're said to be his girlfriend in this class. And then they bring another guy along, and they tell the other guy to try to get past this guy to get to his girlfriend, and they tell the guy who they have the fake girlfriend with to not let him go by. They have to start pushing each other. And then they have to start grunting, they said, like men. And they did that. And then they asked the kid, the Russian boy, how does he feel doing it? He said, you know, it made me feel tremendously strong to have protected that woman from that man. Now, it was all play acting, but what it did was it brought out the primal instincts of manhood, of masculinity in the man. Then they asked the girl, how she felt in that situation. She said she felt better than she has in a long time. She felt protected, that she was not alone in the world. So what can I mean, it's interesting to see what's going on, how the world is changing so rapidly, especially after this brainwashing in the other direction. And that's all I have to say on this issue, because there's nothing more that I can add to it. It has nothing to do with oregano oil. Let's take a call on line 8 as the time shoots by. Greg on WABC, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Aaron, a couple times. Well, I'm enjoying your show today. If I have a problem, I'm a 9/11 victim, so I have a problem talking. So, which I have a... want to talk to you about the minimum wage, and I appreciate...
Okay, well, you got to say, sir, we have only 30 seconds. Can you make your point, please?
Okay, my point is minimum wage, we're between a rock and a hard place. I have daughters in their 20s, and they can't... they make minimum wage, and they can't move out of the house because it's so low.
Okay, so let me... are you then in favor of eliminating the minimum wage, or are you saying it's the bare minimum and it shouldn't be cut any further?
Okay, I live in Westchester County. We had three big corporations in here. We had General Motors...
You know, let's stick to the topic. Are you in favor of keeping a minimum wage or eliminating it?
I want to increase the minimum wage.
Oh, so you would like to increase it because people can't live on it, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, so the question becomes, at what point does a minimum wage actually kill a business? Because there are small business owners who say if you raise the minimum wage to a certain point, they actually have to fire workers, and that's a reality for some of them.
Well, we have to bring business back in here. That's why I voted for Trump, because he has the opportunity to bring business back into the United States.
I hear you. But I'm glad that you called on it, because it's an issue that needs to be discussed. It's not as cut and dried as people may think. I mean, I didn't say that we should cut people's wages to $1 an hour. I'm taking the opposite point of view. I'm saying we need a bare minimum wage, or people will be exploited even more so. On the other hand, what is the proper minimum wage? Is it $20 an hour? Well, who's going to pay that? Here in San Francisco, they think everyone has money to burn. Just give them $20 an hour, $25 an hour. And then the businesses go out of business. They start by firing people. So where is the balance in this equation? Now, many of you read textbooks and Adam Smith and you think that you know the answer. Well, go try to work on a minimum wage and live on it before you give me the answer. That's the simple truth. Don't quote me from a textbook.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Congressional calls grow for a probe of Russian hacking. He won't let it go. The loser, Lindsey Graham, the worst man in the Senate, the absolute worst, craziest man in the history of the Senate. He's worse than Harry Reid. This is a real Benedict Arnold. Are you listening to this? Lindsey Graham is calling for a probe. They won't let go of the Russian hacking still. Okay, we got a great defense chief in Mattis. We got a great DHS chairman in John Kelly, as opposed to the Wall Street phony. Good riddance, let him go back to what he knows best, which is whatever. We got a new fast food executive, Andy Puzder, as labor secretary, who's against the minimum wage. I guess he'll create jobs as a result. Now, I, by the way, have a different opinion on the minimum wage than he does and than many of you so-called conservatives do. It's easy to say I'm against the minimum wage in principle. Let the market determine the price of labor. You know, that's easy to say when you're a millionaire talk show host. But if you're working for minimum wage, would you like to see the wage go down and then argue that it's free market capitalism? What do you want people to live on? What do you want them to live on? Have you tried to work for minimum wage? See, lucky for me, I was poor when I was young, and I worked for minimum wage. I didn't like it. I would rather have made what the owner made. He didn't make that much, by the way, in the little businesses I worked in, whether it was a pharmacy, a one-man pharmacy, or a luncheonette. But the fact was, is I took the job because I was glad to get it. So I made minimum wage. And you know what the object of minimum wage is? Is to make you want to make more money. In other words, you say, I can't stand this stinking job working at a minimum wage job. So what you do is you struggle to get a job where you earn more than the minimum wage. In other words, you learn some skill to make more money. It motivates you to want to pull yourself up from the bottom of the labor scale. It's that simple. But on the other hand, what would you like to see? Child labor reintroduced, all of you genius conservatives? Well, let the market determine the price of labor. That's socialism to dictate minimum wage. So what would you like them to exploit? Children in factories and make them work for a dollar an hour around the clock with no sleeping and no food? Would you like to go back to Dickens times? So there has to be some bottom to a labor cost. You can't just let it be driven into the ground. We can see what the pigs in Silicon Valley are doing, throwing American workers out of jobs to bring in people from India to pay them less money. Is that what you want going on across America? So be very careful with your theories. Unless you yourself have worked for a minimum wage, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But if you're born into a family that took care of you from birth until you graduated from graduate school or medical school or law school, you don't know anything about what you're talking about. You need to have worked two minimum wage jobs to know what I'm talking about. You need to have ridden the bus in the slush to two jobs and then gone to school to know what I'm talking about. You need to know what it's like to raise a family while working two jobs and sleeping 5 hours a night to know what I'm talking about. But on the other note, I love the generals. I sleep better at night. I am so happy to hear that Trump picked the retired General John Kelly to head Homeland Security instead of this Wall Street lawyer, J.A. Johnson, who permitted one terrorist attack after another without getting fired. It's time we had real hard men in our security apparatus. Don't you agree? But the liberals are terrified right away. Oh, generals. Oh, Argentina. Oh, there's going to be a coup. Oh, they're going to round us up. Oh, they're going to they should be rounded up in their own minds. They know better than we do what they've done and what they like to do. It's their own paranoia projecting back on them like a boomerang. What are they afraid of the generals for? Look at what we have now under Obama. A general who can't fire a rifle. An Air Force secretary who can't fly a plane. A Navy secretary who can't steer a rowboat. Thank God that we have these military veterans coming into power. It's just great news. I don't walk around fearing that it's all coming to an end. I don't walk around looking at little white children, to be honest with you, seeing future slaves anymore. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what I used to see? I'd walk around and look at little white children. I'd shake my head and I'd say, if this doesn't stop, these children will be slaves in their own nation. Take a look at what they're doing to the kids at the campuses. Look what they're doing to your beautiful baby when they get into college. Look what they're doing to them if they happen to have been born as Caucasian. Look at the evil communists and their indoctrination and what they do to them every day with lies about white privilege. The brainwashing is a form of psychological warfare to make them hate themselves for being themselves. That's what they've done to your children in this country. Now, the academic bureaucrats have to be purged in this nation. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. It's going to take a long time, a very long time, until the climate of the culture of this nation is finally changed. But change it must for this country to survive. But the fact of the matter is, I wrote about Mattis a couple of years ago. It was in October of 2014 that I published a book entitled Stop the Coming Civil War. I was raising the red flags about Obama, how he had purged more than 200 U.S. military officers at the rank of colonel or higher since he became president. In 2009, he had fired over 200 U.S. military officers, replacing them with useless puppets. And one of those fired by this communist president of ours, this Castroite, was General James Mattis. Who is James Mattis? First of all, he's a great Marine. He's the former head of CENTCOM. In January 2013, Castro's cousin, Fidel Obama, dismissed Mattis, the general, for being too much of a hawk, especially when it came to the administration's lenient policy toward Iran. The fact of the matter is, Mattis understood how dangerous a nuclear-armed Iran would be to our allies and to U.S. interests in the Middle East, and he was not afraid to speak out. Mattis, who once famously said, quote, and I can't say the whole sentence here, it's on page 61 of the book, he said, there are some AHs in the world who just need to be shot. And he was known among his peers as someone who could defend the military in its ongoing dialogue with government functionaries, Both soldiers and civilians respected the general, and he wasn't about to kowtow to anyone. He was exactly the type of commander that Obama both shrinks from and does all he can to remove. Why do you think Obama removed Mattis? You have an idea why he threw him out? The general had received a note from one of his own aides telling him he was being replaced as the head of Central Command. Not one of the low-life weakling stooges from the Pentagon or the communist White House was gracious enough to inform him about this. I can relate to that. That's what they do to big men. I've seen it happen in my own life just recently. They're afraid of men like us. And so the sneaks in the night have underlings do it for them. But then eventually the men like me come back to the surface, and the underlings run like the cockroaches they are when the light is shown upon their behavior. Others fired were two of our top nuclear commanders, Major General Michael Carey, Vice Admiral Tim Giardina. Both left the armed forces within days of each other, both because of personal misconduct, according to reports and emails leaked to the press. They were not even given a trial. The girls around Obama, the girls he put uniforms on, the fake tin warriors that Obama put into the Pentagon did this to them. The official report on General Carey's dismissal says this. They said that while on temporary assignment in Moscow, the general went on a vodka-drinking binge one night, and he needed assistance standing at one point. Can you believe this? And he had tried to get up on stage with a Beatles cover band in a Mexican restaurant in Moscow. And that was the reason to fire a combat general? Yes, if you're one of the cowards in a uniform who really belongs as an usher in a movie theater. Do you know who this man was? And do you know why he was really fired? I have it all for you on the Savage Nation, because maybe we have hope to restore our military after this communist regime is finally thrown out of office. Do you know who this man was, General Michael Carey? The man who was thrown out for drinking vodka and dancing on a stage? At the time he was fired by the girls in the band, he was commander of the 20th Air Force, responsible for all 450 of the Air Force's Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles located in five U.S. states. You know who else he is? Prior to that, General Carey actually served in both the Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom operations. He was also the recipient of no fewer than 13 major military awards and decorations. And the vermin in Obama's Defense Department, the fakers in uniform, threw him out. Carey is an American hero, and yet he was relieved of duty for drinking vodka in Russia. Was it not possible for the Air Force to provide an officer with Carey's credentials some sort of rehabilitation for the alleged alcohol problems instead of firing him? I hope that Donald Trump and General Mattis get together and bring back General Michael Carey next. But now I'll go to the next one. Who else did the communist president fire? Chim Giardina. Now, all of this has been lost by you. Most of you don't know this, but I remember everything. I record everything. I absorb everything. I sort everything. And I put it into my books. So let me read what else you need to know about Giardia. Scorched Earth took it from here. Charges against Vice Admiral Giardina were no less fantastic. Do you know who he is? Fired by the cretin in the White House? Giardina was a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, a three-star admiral, who was the former deputy commander and chief of staff of the Pacific Fleet. Now, I wrote, you'd think that if you were going to relieve someone of this stature of his command and reassign him to a desk job, you'd come up with serious charges related to the performance of his duty. But in a move that had to be approved by the president, the sneak himself, Giardina was demoted for having played poker with counterfeit $100 chips in the Horseshoe Casino in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Now, that was never proven, by the way. That's number one. In other words, both of these commanders who have outstanding military records and who have risen to the tops of their commands were dismissed on charges that, in my opinion, would likely have gotten an enlisted man no more than a slap on the wrist. Or let us say one of the girls he put into office. Do you know who the Secretary of the Navy is? Do you know the Secretary of the Air Force has never flown an airplane? Do you know that? One commentator described it this way. This move is exceedingly rare and perhaps unprecedented in the history of U.S. Strategic Command, which is responsible for all U.S. nuclear warfighting forces, including nuclear-armed submarines, bombers, and land-based missiles. So why did Obama purge them? I have the other names of the military men who may be coming back to defend this great nation now that we have swept out or will soon sweep out these turncoat rats that Obama has put in. But Donald Trump is going to need our help every step of the way. Thank God he started at the top. And he put Mattis back where he belongs. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I can recommend a good travel agent for the thousands of Islamists waiting to kill our children who have been getting away with virtual murder because of Jay Johnson and Barack Obama and the other quislings in this government who sit there with their hands shaking saying, oh, no, 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 no. You must tolerate all religions. No, no, no. No, no, no. Wait until I kill someone till you say anything and then don't say Islam. Don't say Muslim. I have one piece of advice for all of you listening. Which is, I know a good travel agent for all of you. His name is retired Marine General John Kelly. Give him a quick call and let him know what your plans are, because maybe he can help you get there faster. So listen to what the liberals are doing now. Retired General Kelly gave a speech 4 days after his son was killed in Afghanistan serving the nation. And in the speech, he said, their struggle is your struggle. This is after his son was dead. And he gave the speech honoring the sacrifices made by America's armed forces, and particularly the Marines. And he said, their struggle is your struggle, said General Kelly. They disdain those who claim to support them, but not the cause that takes their innocence, their limbs, and their lives. He said, as a democracy, we must support them. I know it doesn't apply to anyone in this room today, but if anyone thinks you can somehow thank them for their service and not support the cause for which they fight, our country, then these people are lying to themselves and rationalizing away something in their own lives. But more importantly, they are slighting our warriors and mocking their commitment to this nation. Well, they went crazy. They're calling it a troubling quote in the Washington Post. The ACLU had the nerve to say this. Senator should look closely at this speech and its implications, said Christopher Anders, deputy director of the so-called ACLU in Washington, D.C. He said, as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, General Kelly, will have an obligation to tolerate and respect the wide range of values and views of our big country. Oh, hey, I could write a whole book on that one. Let's say a whole chapter on your wide range of values. You know what your values are? You know what I like to do to your values? You know what I know what your word for tolerance means? I can't say it's a family show. So I can't wait for the hearings, the confirmation hearings for General Kelly, which will take place next year when the new Congress takes over. I intend to be on the radio telling you who the enemies of America are. I will name them. I will tell you who they are. I'll tell you what they're going to say. And we're going to support General Kelly from top to the bottom. We're going to deliver a blizzard of emails in support of General Kelly. And we will shame all of those who try to stop him from taking this most important job, especially after all these years of Jay Johnson, who has permitted one terrorist attack after another without being fired by Mr. Hussein, his boss. So Obama is in front of Fareed Zakaria, the guy with the bug eyes. Zakaria, let's put it this way, is not one of my favorite people on CNN. Now that's an oxymoronic statement. Just to say, not one of my favorite people on CNN, because there are no people on CNN. So I can't have any favorite people. There's just ghouls. There's just left-wing fanatics on a CNN. Zakaria is perhaps the craziest of all of them. And that's why he and the president have such a harmony with each other. They kind of vibe each other. They belong in the same vibration. So here is clip 4 of the two bug jobs, Zakaria and Hussein, talking about Obama's legacy on the Savage Nation.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
What does that mean? Does anyone understand what Obama speaks in jargon? He can't say anything correctly or straight. Everything's a twisted statement. How do you think he became president? By being honest? He became president by knowing how to twist the truth and never say anything that's real. That's all. So.